The grace of giving and the giving of grace. One of my favorite authors, Philip Yancey, entitled one of his early books, Where is God When It Hurts? Where is God When It Hurts? And that's a question that all people probably ask at times in their lives. Yancey suggests that the question should rather be rephrased to read as such, where is the church when it hurts? Where is the church when it hurts? Because we, in the end, are God's representatives on earth. We are the embodiment, the body of Christ, and we should be at the forefront of offering aid. We are the hands of God to our neighbors. And those neighbors are not just the ones nearby, they are also those who are further afield in other parts of the globe. One of the things that Paul did on his missionary travels was to make a collection for the Christians back in Jerusalem. The Christians there were going through a time of famine and were in great need of assistance. And as Paul visits the various churches of Asia Minor, he tells them that they are indebted to the Jerusalem church, since that is really the mother church, the church that brought them the gospel. And now they can reciprocate by making a donation to them. I think Paul, as he sometimes is, a little bit sneaky. As he says to the church in Corinth, he says, in effect, look how generous your brothers and sisters in Macedonia have been. Surely you're not going to let the side down, failing to make a sizable donation yourselves. His actual words in Corinthians are, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it to the earnestness of others. Maybe because Paul, as far as we know, wasn't married and didn't have children, he'd never heard this thing about, you know, you mustn't compare your children with each other. Because these churches are, in effect, his children that he has brought to birth. But he doesn't seem to have any qualms about making comparisons between them. And he lays it on even a little bit thicker when he makes a comparison with Jesus. And he says, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. And of course, that is a message for us as well. We have just been through Easter and have been reminded of the great poverty that Jesus experienced in more than one way, as he gave up the riches of heaven, as he gave up his life for us. And for our sake, he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And so this Easter offering is very appropriate. I was asking a colleague about it, because it's not something that I am familiar with, but he was saying, well, we give gifts at Christmas time. Isn't it even more appropriate to give gifts at this special time of the year? And the donations by these churches to the Christian Jerusalem is a reminder to us that we as Christians are part of a worldwide body. We are joined together with others around the globe. And we need to seek to care and support one another where we can. And of course, the best way to do that is through our physical presence with those who go through a difficult time. But often, of course, that isn't possible. And the next best thing is to send support in other ways, including money, of course. Someone has described money as our other self. Our other self. I mustn't tell my wife that, because she'll go shopping and say, no, I didn't spend the money, it was my other self. Our other self. It's our other self in the sense that Our money can go to places that we cannot go. We ourselves cannot be physically present in Bangladesh or Ethiopia, but part of us, in a sense, can go through the gifts that we give. Those gifts can fund material needs in those places, or they can enable people to go there, as it were, on our behalf. Our other self. Go to all nations, says Jesus, and make them my disciples. We may not be able to go to all nations, but we can make it possible for others to go, or for our other self to go and to alleviate the needs there. The word grace appears several times in those passages in Corinthians, including that lovely expression, the grace of giving. Paul says, in the same way that you abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge and love, so too excel in this grace of giving. And of course, the kind of giving that God seeks is a giving that isn't made out of a sense of duty or obligation. It should be gracious giving, giving with a spirit of love and willingness and generosity. Elsewhere in those two passages where Paul speaks at length, as Ron said, about the subject of giving, Paul there mentions that, well, an expression, God loves a cheerful giver. I think in many people's minds, a cheerful giver is an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? Two seemingly contradictory words alongside each other. You know, like civil service or military intelligence, or in my case, fun run. Somehow those words just don't go together. Cheerful giver. Those words don't always go together in our experience, do they? More likely, as one puts one's offering in the plate and you see the plate moving down the row and you think longingly of what you could have spent that money on. I'm sure that's not the case here. The grace of giving. It's about giving willingly with a thankful heart. It's about giving because of the amazing grace that God has shown to us. As one of our Easter hymns puts it, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Another aspect of that phrase, the grace of giving, is the grace and the gratitude that our generosity generates in others. Paul says the service you are performing is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. It's like a wonderful circle, isn't it? God's grace that we receive, which initiates grace in us, so that we, in turn, are able to offer grace and assistance to others. And they, having received that grace, respond in gracious thanksgiving and gratitude back to God. It's not a vicious circle, it's a gracious circle that just keeps on going around and going up more and more. And so Paul says to the Macedonian Christians, or says about them, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service. I'm not sure that we always feel quite that way, urgently pleading for the privilege of sharing in the service. But it indeed is a privilege, isn't it, to be able to give, a privilege to partner in some small way with God and what God is doing. including what God is doing in faraway places. And so maybe in heaven one day we will meet someone who says, you know that donation that your church made for the World Mission Fund, it enabled our family to buy a mosquito net to protect our child from malaria. Or that donation enabled me to buy a Bible in my own language for the first time. And that gift changed my life. The grace of giving, and the giving of grace. Amen.